the man in charge of the ship's pumping systems, my direct superior. I stepped through the hatch and saw that Bahadur and two others, including one of the women, were standing along the bulkhead on either side of the hatch. Sanja looked distinctly uneasy. He was slightly built, almost bird-like, with darker skin than the others. The other three eyed me in grim silence. Bahadur especially seemed to be glowering menacingly.
"Mr. Humphreys, we must go to the secondary pump station," Sanja told me.
"Now?" I asked, looking around at the others. They seemed like a death squad to me. With an unhappy nod, Sanja said,
"Now, yes."
My pulse was thundering in my ears as we trooped down the passageway, past the bridge, heading for the aft end of the ship. Fuchs was not in the command chair when we passed the bridge, I saw. Amar Jagal had the con. The doors to both the captain's quarters and Marguerite's were tightly closed as we went by. Fine, I thought. They're in bed together while the crew murders me. Bahadur has timed his move perfectly. I didn't know what to do. My knees started to shake as we approached the secondary pump station. My palms felt sweaty. Neither Bahadur nor any of the others had spoken a word to me. For a ridiculous instant, I remembered old Western videos that I had watched as a child. This certainly looked like a lynching party to me. With each step we took, Bahadur seemed to grow larger. He was a big man, taller than anyone else aboard, and his shaven head and bushy beard gave him an appearance of savagery. Baldansanja looked slim and weak next to him, a harmless man driven by the stronger Bahadur. The other man and the woman were both solidly built, a bit taller than me, and much more thickly muscled. The secondary pumping station was two ladder flights down, at the tail end of the passageway. Nothing more than a pie-slice-shaped chamber with a pair of backup pumps housed in hemispherical metal covers.
"Sit there," Bahadur said, pointing to one of the hemispheres.
"I know you think I'm a spy for the captain," I started to say, "but that's entirely wrong. I'm not..."
"Be quiet," Bahadur said.
But I couldn't keep my mouth shut. Fear loosens the bowels in some men. In me, apparently, it loosened the tongue. I babbled. I couldn't stop talking. I gave them chapter and verse of how Fuchs hated my father and me and would congratulate them for murdering me, how they couldn't get away with it, how the IAA and the other authorities would find out about this when they returned to Earth and investigate my death, and the woman slapped me hard across my face. I tasted blood in my mouth.
"Be silent, Mr. Humphreys," hissed Bahadur. "We have no intention of harming you unless you force us to."
I blinked, the whole side of my face stinging as I swallowed salty hot blood. The woman glared at me and muttered something in her native tongue. I understood the tone. "Shut your mouth, foolish man." I sat there in silence. But I couldn't help fidgeting. My hands refused to stay still. My fingers drummed along the thighs of my coveralls. Every nerve in my body was jangling, quivering. The others took flat little black boxes from their pockets and scanned the bulkheads, overhead and deck, looking for bugs, I figured. The woman grunted and pointed to a plate in the metal overhead. While Sanja stood beside me, looking downcast, they unscrewed the plate and removed a tiny piece of plastic. It looked like nothing more than a speck of dust to me, but Bahadur frowned at it, threw it to the deck, and ground it beneath the heel of his boot. I looked up at Sanja. "What's this all about? What are they going to do?" He shushed me with a finger to his lips. So I sat there in terrified silence for what seemed like hours. Sanja stood irresolutely beside me, obviously miserable, while the others arrayed themselves on either side of the compartment's hatch and occasionally peered up the passageway that ran along the keel of the ship. At last the woman hissed something that sounded like a warning, and they flattened themselves out against the bulkhead. Sanja seemed to be trembling just as hard as I was, but he whispered to me,
"Be absolutely silent, Mr. Humphreys. Your life depends on it."
Sitting there on the pump housing, a prisoner in a makeshift cell, I leaned over slightly so I could see up along the passageway. Fuchs was striding toward us, his face a thundercloud, his hands balled into fists. Bahadur pulled a knife from his coveralls. I recognized it as a steak knife from the galley. The other two drew similar weapons. I glanced up at Sanja. He seemed paralyzed with fear, biting his lip, staring up the passageway at the approaching captain. I could hear Fuchs's footsteps now, treading along the metal decking, swiftly, firmly. They meant to kill him, I finally understood. I was nothing more than the bait. This trap had been set for him. So they kill him, I thought. And we pull out of Venus and go home. If I keep my mouth shut, I can survive this. I can back up their story. I can convince them that if they kill me too, the authorities will know they'd committed murder. But if they let me live, I'll corroborate whatever story they concoct about Fuchs, and we'll all get out of this alive. After all, Venus is so damnably dangerous, almost any story they invent would be believable. We can live through this. I won't get Alex's remains, but I can always come back. What we've learned on this mission will allow me to build a better, safer vessel for the return trip. Fuchs was a few strides from the hatch. Bahadur and the two others stood on either side of the hatch, out of his sight, knives drawn. If our positions were reversed, Fuchs would let them kill me, I told myself. He set me up for this in the first place, making the crew think I was spying for him. They could hear his footsteps, too, I realized. They were waiting, poised to strike. Sanja stood frozen beside me, unwilling or unable to utter a peep. I leaped off the pump housing and dived out through the hatch, screaming, "It's a trap!" at the top of my lungs. I barreled into Fuchs, who simply pushed me aside. As I climbed to my feet, Bahadur and the two others pushed through the hatch, roaring with frustrated rage. Bahadur reached Fuchs first, and the captain leveled him with a single powerful punch. The other crewman staggered back as Bahadur slumped to the deck. Fuchs kicked Bahadur in the head, then stood waiting in a semi-crouch, his lips pulled back in a ferocious grin. The crewman slashed with the knife, but Fuchs ducked under it and punched up into the man's midsection so hard it lifted him off his feet. I heard the air gush out of his lungs, and he dropped to his knees. Fuchs smashed a rabbit punch to the back of his neck, and he fell atop the prostrate Bahadur. All this happened in the time it took me to get to my feet. The woman stood in the hatch, amazed and confused, knife in hand, glancing from Fuchs to the inert bodies of her fellow conspirators. Fuchs was still grinning terribly. The woman hesitated, wavered. Sanja hit her from behind with a karate chop that knocked her senseless. It was over. Fuchs bent down and took the knives from them. Bahadur was moaning, his legs twitching slightly. The other crewman still on top of him, still unconscious. Turning to me, the three knives in one hand, Fuchs said, "Well, that's over."
"Captain,"
Sanja said, his voice shaking as he stepped over the woman he'd knocked out,
"I was forced by them. I would not betray you. I was—"
"Quiet, Sanja," said Fuchs.
The man closed his mouth so quickly I could hear his teeth click.
"That took some nerve, warning me," Fuchs said to me.
I was panting. My legs felt weak, my bladder full.
"I knew what was going on," he went on. "Clever of them to use you as bait. They would have slit your throat afterward, of course."
"Of course," I managed to choke out.
"Still, it took some guts to bolt out like that and try to warn me."
His face was almost devoid of expression. Neither pain nor pleasure showed. Not relief. Certainly not gratitude.
"It made it easier to take them, bringing the fight out here through the passageway," he went on, almost musing, reviewing the brawl like a general going over the after-action reports from a battle.
"They would have killed you," I heard my own voice quavering.
"They would have tried," Fuchs said. "It would have been a tougher fight inside the pump station, I admit."
I was starting to feel almost angry. He was acting as if nothing much out of the ordinary had happened. Bahadur moaned again and tried to sit up. Fuchs watched him struggle to get out from under the other crewman. He leaned his back against the bulkhead and held his head in both hands, eyes still closed.
"Hurts, doesn't it?" Fuchs taunted, leaning slightly toward him. "Not as much as a knife in the ribs would hurt, but still I imagine your head's pretty painful right now."
Bahadur opened his eyes. There was no defiance in them, no hatred, not even anger. He was whipped and he knew it.
"Sanja," the captain commanded, "you and Humphreys take these three mutineers back to the crew's quarters.
They are confined to their